This is the word of the Lord found in Psalm 144. Starting in verse 11 and reading to verse 15. So the last portion of Psalm 144. Psalm 144, starting with verse 11, reading to the end of the psalm. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. There are many things mentioned about children in the Bible. And children, the word doesn't always mean someone who is created or begotten by someone. Sometimes it means someone who is following or influenced by someone else. We know from the scripture that God created all things. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Genesis 2:1 says, "And so God finished the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them." We find out that the Creator is actually one and the same as Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." So we find out reading Old Testament and New Testament that God made everything without exception. Now let me just make a little detour here. When you see the expression "all things" in the Bible, it doesn't always mean all things without exceptions. Let me give you an example. Some people really like, and I do too, the verse that says, "I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens me." Well, if you read the context that's being written there, Paul is talking about how he can suffer or have need, or he can be in prosperity and be in a good time, and he can go ahead and serve God through all those situations. And so he can do all things in God's service through Jesus Christ, who strengthens him. But you would never interpret that verse, "all things," to mean absolutely everything. You wouldn't say, "I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me." That is, "I can sin through Jesus Christ who strengthens me." Or, "I can lie through Jesus Christ who strengthens me." Or, "I can be cruel to someone through Jesus Christ who strengthens me." It would be plain that all things wouldn't include those things, sinning or lying or being cruel. It would include those things which were in the context of the verse. That is, serving God in times of poverty, serving God in times of prosperity, serving God in times of mistreatment, serving God in times of good treatment. You would be able to do those things which are pleasing to God through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. But when we read a verse like John 1:3, where it says all things were made by Him, well, at that point we may be wondering, well, is that all things without exception? Or does that exclude some things like maybe the devil or maybe some of the evil spirits or some of the mean people in the world? No, God made all the creatures in the world. We know it by the last part of that verse. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That states it pretty clearly, doesn't it? That there is no creature, no material no energy in the whole universe that was not created by God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do you get bad creatures or wicked creatures such as Satan or such as evil spirits or such as disobedient men? Well, God created creatures that had a will that was able to obey him or able to disobey him, and some of those creatures disobeyed God. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us that God hath made man upright, yet he hath sought out many inventions. We read that God made Satan or Lucifer beautiful, and yet iniquity was found in him, because in pride he stated, I will be like the Most High. I will set my throne above all the angels in heaven. So we find that God made creatures that were able to choose to obey him or choose to disobey him. The first man, Adam, was able to choose to obey God or choose to disobey God, and for a while did obey God, but then when tempted and put to the test, his wife Eve went ahead and did that which Adam was commanded not to do, and then Adam made a choice, a deliberate choice, to disobey God. As a result, he died and was separated in a spiritual fashion from God. He died in trespasses and sins, and all those that are begotten of Adam died at that same time. That's why we are shapen in iniquity, and in sin did our mother conceive us. And man, by nature and by conception, fallen, does not even have the ability to choose to do right after Adam's choice to do wrong. And so we're wholly dependent on God to have mercy upon us. You may wonder why I'm talking about all of this. The reason why that I'm stressing so much that God made everything is that a few generations ago in the church there entered a false doctrine that Satan had his own children. That is, God created people and Satan created people, and that the people created by God were the children of God, and the people that were created by Satan were the children of Satan. And so you had two different seeds of men going through the history of the earth, and they were at conflict with one another. Well, that's not the case. That's not what the Bible teaches. All men were created by God who created Adam, and all the human race fell in Adam. And so, as a result of Adam's choice, all of the human race is in sin and in trespasses and in iniquity and in that kind of wickedness. And if it were not for the grace of the living God, all the human race would be cast into the lake of fire. But God in love chose this great number, greater than the stars of the sky, and gave them to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth and paid for all their sins in order that the people that God chose in him would be made good, would be made righteous, would be made holy and acceptable and without blame in the sight of God. And that's what we rejoice in the gospel. So it's not the case where God made a people and the devil made a people. It's the case where God made a people, all of those people fell, and God chose a great number out of that people to redeem and to make glorious like his only begotten Son. The reason I mention that is what we've read here. Verse 1, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Strange children does not mean people that have been created by the devil. It means a people who have been influenced by the devil. It means people whose mouth speaks vanity, that is, what they communicate is worthless and vain, And then their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Their deeds are the deeds of deception. And the writer here, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the writer is David, is praying to God and saying, rid me, get rid of, and deliver me from, that is, save me, from the hand of strange children. Help me, Lord, to not be controlled or influenced by these human beings who were made by God, but who are following God's enemies. I know I took a long time to say that, but I just want you to realize there's not two different creations of the human race. God hath made of one blood all nations upon the face of the earth. That's what Paul preaches in Acts chapter 17. Please don't fall off into the false doctrine that Satan ever made or created anything. He has no creative power. He's never made anything unless you count trouble, and that's not a thing. Satan takes God's creations and corrupts them and twists them and leads them astray. That's what he does, for he has no creative ability of his own. And so here David is praying, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children. Now, the Bible speaks of strange children, speaks of the children, ye are the children of your father, the devil, when Christ was talking about those who were tempting him and opposing him. But he didn't mean that the devil begat them or created them. He meant that they were following the ways of the devil. Now, we read also in the scripture about dear children. Those are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. It says that here, I therefore the prisoner, this is Ephesians 4 and 1. It says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And then in Ephesians 5, 1, it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. God makes human beings his children by causing those whom he has chosen in his covenant and given to his son Jesus Christ to be born again of his spirit. From that point, they are born of God, and therefore they have been quickened as children of God. But now those who actually consciously choose to follow God, be ye therefore followers of God, are not only children of God, they are dear children. So I want you to see that there's two groups that are under consideration. There are strange children and there are dear children. And I encourage all of us, and as many of the children of God as will listen, to be dear children. Before, we were strange children. It says, ye were children of wrath, even as others. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, even according as in time past ye walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So there, the Apostle Paul says, once you were walking in such a life, and living in such a way that you were dead in trespasses and sins, and you were children of wrath or children of anger, even as others that are not born again. That was the nature of your life. We're children of wrath, even as others. But now he's saying, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So you got the dear children, you got the strange children. I know I'm taking a lot of time to establish this, but I feel like I need to, so that folks won't get off into falsehood, and so that they'll realize the lesson. So when David says, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, he's not talking about being saved or delivered from those who were actually created by the devil. He's talking about being saved from or rid of the influence of those who are following the ways of the devil. Are they children of God chosen in the covenant of grace or not? I don't know. I don't know whether they're born again or not. I just know these strange children are speaking falsehood, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. They're speaking vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. And David's saying, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children. In this world, you won't ever get in a place where you're just totally surrounded by good people. Now, God has given some things to help you be surrounded by more good people. If you've been blessed to be born into a family that loved you, that's not all that common. But if you have, you need to treasure that blessing, honor your father and mother, bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and act toward your brothers and sisters in kindness and in truth, because God has set you in a place where you are getting stronger by being surrounded by love rather than vanity and falsehood. If you have been blessed to get into a church where the truth is spoken in love, that's something to give you a little time each week in order for you to have some distance from the strange children who speak vanity and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood, so that you might be prepared to go back out in the world. But brothers and sisters, in this world, you never get where you're just totally away from the influence of these strange children. You never get to the place where you just don't encounter them. You could join a monastery, or you sisters could get into a convent, and you would still run into individuals who were strange children whose influence was the influence of the enemies of God. So the prayer here is not to put me in a place where I'll never encounter them, but rather, Lord, rid me of their influence. Rid me of their deception. Rid me of them pulling me down into darkness and to cruelty and to selfishness myself. Lord, help me to have some ability to not be drawn aside and tempted by these strange children and the vanity they speak and the deception that they accomplish. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. That is, Lord, if I can get in the place where I'm not under the influence of these strange children, then it will be a blessing to see sons come up who are mature and daughters come up who are polished. And that's one way you know that God is blessing you with a portion of the truth and not to be influenced by vanity and falsehood and the message of the strange children, is that young people that come up, you'll see in that generation that the young men are mature and that the young women are polished. If you're being influenced, or else your family or church or your community is being influenced by strange children, then you'll find out that your young men grow up immature and your young women grow up rough. That is the opposite of polished. What does that mean? I want you to think about young men and how they grow up. A generation ago, many years ago, you really didn't have a generation gap. You know, there's nothing in the Bible that says there has to be a generation gap. The generation gap is an invention of the devil. And it's come about, at least in this society, in the last 2-3 generations. And part of the reason why is that the young men have not matured as quickly as they used to. And here's what I mean by maturity. There are responsibilities or duties that a young person assumes as they come to adulthood, and there are privileges and abilities that a young person assumes when they come to adulthood. For instance, you'd never have a young person that was just 12 years old get married. But you would have somebody 20, 22 get married. Why? Because they have an ability and a privilege there that they didn't have before. Similarly, you wouldn't have a 7-year-old out there trying to repair a car, but you might have a 17-year-old driving a car. One is a duty or responsibility, the other is a privilege or an ability. And what happened many generations ago is young men assumed their duties before they received their privileges. Just give you an example of what I've talked about. Before, you would see a young man driving a car or a place of his own, or many of the things that would, or getting married, you would find that that young man often had already put in and raised a crop. He had already cared for livestock. He had already probably done some carpentry repair work. He had been engaged in activities around the farm or around his home that were associated with being grown up. They were duties. And then later on, showing himself to be faithful in those duties, he would begin to assume the privileges. He might be able to take the buggy out himself for an afternoon, or he might get an old car, or he might meet a young woman and fall in love and be married. But long before he assumed those abilities and privileges, he had already undertaken the duties and the responsibilities. So there was an overlap. He was already an adult in the things that he did by way of duty before he was recognized as an adult before the things that he assumed as privileges. Well, we've reversed that. Now, I got a car when I was 17 before I ever had a significant job. I was able to have spending money before I had earned money. And so you have a lot of young men who have the privileges, abilities, and often even the entertainments that are associated with adulthood before they ever get the duties and responsibilities. And that leads to an immature young man and a generation gap. And so if you listen to the right hand of falsehood, that's the attribute of the strange children, you find out that the sons, the young men, are not as plants grown up in their youth. You find many of them are immature, well into middle age. Have you run into that in this culture lately? That you run into men that are already in their 30s and their 40s, and they're still boys. They're just boys. They have very sophisticated manners of playing and spending money, but as far as being responsible and capable, they're not there yet. As far as being faithful, as far as being someone you can count on, they've never been in that place. They are like plants that are not grown up. David said, if we get rid of the hand of strange children, our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. If you're in a society where truth abounds, young women will be polished just like the stones on the palace of a king before they ever reach what we think of as the age of adulthood. They will be able to be gracious before others. They will be able to do the things that would be necessary to care for others, to run a house, to get a job, to think of those things. They would have that polish. But if you're in a society where the strange children are having an undue influence, then your young women are still, they're rough, they're uncouth, they're unpolite, they're not well-spoken, they're not thoughtful. And so you can judge how much influence strange children are having in any environment by the way the young men and the young women are. If the young men are like plants grown up in their youth, that is, they are mature at a young age, and the young women are polished at a young age, you can suspect that many people are giving attention to the truth that God teaches. But on the other hand, if you run into a society where many of the men are still immature at an advanced age, and many of the women are still rough, even in mature years, then you can suspect that the strange children are very influential with their mouth of vanity and their right hand of deception and falsehood. So David says, "Rid me of those, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store." If you have a society that follows after truth, or a church that follows after truth, you will have a prosperity. There will be a plenty, because such a group of people have learned to trust in God and to work for what they have, and furthermore, to set aside that which is needed for a future day. So the garners will be full. "That our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets." Not only will there be plenty of children of God, but they will be children of God who are following the shepherd. The sheep will bring forth thousands and tens of thousands. You would have full churches that were true churches. "Then that our oxen may be strong to labor." An ox, and you may think this is funny, but an ox is a very strong picture of a preacher. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul uses it, the ox, as a very clear picture of a preacher. He says, "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn." And he says, I'm not even talking about oxen. He was talking about ministry at that point. So the ox is a very strong picture of a preacher. And he says, if you're rid and delivered from these strange children, our oxen may be strong to labor. That is, you'll get preachers that work. They will labor much in the doctrine and the word of God. They will work in prayer. They will work in visitation. They will work in trying to minister unto God's children. Why? Because they're able to. If you're not being influenced by the strange children and the right hand of falsehood, people will actually listen to the oxen that God sent. And as they listen, then their lives are improved, and he goes on and works with others, and you have an encouragement to him, so that his work is not discouraging, it's encouraging. And so your oxen are strong to labor. "That there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets." You find that you don't have people break in to discourage and corrupt the household of God. You don't have people go out and just get tired of it and disappear. You don't have complaining in the streets. There may be a lot of complaining in prayer as people bring their cares to God and complain and say, "Lord, I don't know how I can go through this. Please support me." But you don't have people complaining in the street. That is, you don't have murmuring and backbiting and people complaining among each other. They make their complaints to someone who can help. It's fine to complain to God. You know why? He's big enough to handle it, and he's big enough to help it. But when you complain in the streets, what you end up doing is dumping your murmuring and complaint on someone who can't help, and it drags them down. So they're not big enough to handle it, and often they're not able to help it. So David is saying, "Rid me of these strange children, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Now here the Bible actually speaks of a way to be happy. If you're rid of the strange children whose mouth speaks vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, happy is that people that is in such a case. That's a happy situation. Yea, happy is that people whose God, the one whom they worship, is the Lord, the one who actually rules the universe. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. But I want you to know, it's easy for me, and it may be easy for you if you have some of the same weaknesses as I do, is to pray that God rid this society of strange children in order that all of these things go right, so that young men are mature and young women are polished and that there's prosperity and that there's a multitude of those who follow God, and so that there are preachers who work hard, and so that there's not breaking in and going out and complaining in the streets. You may want to pray that God will rid others of the strange children and their influence, but notice that's not the way this psalm goes. Verse 11 is very personal. It's rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones. The prayer there is not that God will just eliminate the strange children. The prayer is for me personally. Lord, keep me from being influenced by the strange children who speak things that are worthless and who do things that are deceitful. And Lord, if that change takes place in me, it will benefit everybody. It will result. The change that takes place in me will be more likely that you'll see young men around me that are mature, young women around me that are polished, that you'll see more prosperity, that you will see more following the Lord, that you'll see preachers that work harder. You'll find people that don't break in, they come in humbly. People that don't go out, they stay faithful. And that you find people that are not complaining in the street, they're complaining before the Lord and they're giving Him thanks for how He has answered their prayers in days past. Can you see how personal that prayer is? The reason I want to emphasize that is because it needs to be my prayer, and I would heartily recommend that it be your prayer. Lord, teach me not to fall under the influence of strange children, of those who promote vanity and falsehood. Lord, help me to appreciate when I'm surrounded by a good family that loves the truth. Lord, when I am blessed with a church that speaks the truth in love. Lord, when I have time to be with you in prayer or in reading your word or in doing your bidding, Lord, help me to cherish that time when the influence of these strange children is not hurting my life. And Lord, give me a guard of protection. Help me to put on my armor so that I don't bow to the influence of strange children, but rather I rise in following the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you.